Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into a topic that's quickly moving from sci-fi to our everyday reality. AI agents. You probably heard of chatbots, sure, but this is evolving fast. We're talking genuinely intelligent automation now. Systems that can actually understand your goals, figure out complex steps, and then, you know, execute those plans. It's transforming everything, really, from personal productivity to how businesses operate.
That's exactly right. And our mission for this deep dive is, well, to cut through some of that buzz. We want to give you a clear, concise, and hopefully engaging explanation of what AI agents actually are, why they matter so much, you know, for your work and life, and crucially, how they're being built.
Yeah, think of this as your essential shortcut. We want you to truly understand this rapidly evolving field without getting totally bogged down in endless jargon.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we've pulled from a really fantastic stack of sources. We've got insights from expert YouTube discussions, foundational course lessons, practical guides.
Yeah, really hands-on stuff too.
Exactly. It's a truly well-rounded perspective, we think, that brings both the theory and, like you said, the practical application to life. So let's maybe unpack this for everyone. What exactly is an AI agent, you know, at its core?
Okay, yeah. So at its core, an AI agent is built around a large language model, an LLM, that provides the reasoning. The LLM's job is basically to identify a task you've asked for, then create a step-by-step plan to complete it, and finally, perform the actions in that plan.
Okay, the LLM is the brain then, sort of.
Sort of, yeah, the reasoning engine.
Yeah.
But beyond the LLM, an agent absolutely needs memory. This can be short-term, like just remembering the context of your current conversation.
Right, what we're talking about right now.
Exactly. Or it can be long-term memory, which is more like a collection of data that lets the agent improve and learn over time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, agents need tools.
Tools.
Yeah, tools. These are things like APIs. Those are application programming interfaces, basically digital connectors so different software can talk to each other.
Got it.
Or tools could be databases or specific functions that actually enable the agent to take real-world actions.
Okay, that breakdown into LLM memory and tools, that really helps demystify it, I think. How does that architecture translate into, like, distinct advantages compared to, say, a traditional chatbot that just responds to prompts?
Oh, the advantages are significant, and they're really why you should care about this.
Yeah.
First off, AI agents are available 24/7. That makes them incredibly efficient.
Always on.
Always on. They're also cost-effective because they can automate tasks that, you know, previously required human labor. And maybe most powerfully, they're highly customizable. You get a lot of personalization possible to suit specific needs.
Right, for an individual or a whole business.
Exactly.
Okay, we've talked about the abstract advantages, 24/7, cost-effective. But what does that actually look like in the real world? Let me tell you about this founder I heard about from Sweet Spot. They had a friend whose job literally was to manually refresh a government website all day long, just checking for updates.
Wow, repetitive.
Totally. So they thought, why not create an AI agent to do this instead? And just like that, this repetitive manual job was replaced. The AI agent does it cheaper, faster, and around the clock.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, though, as these systems get bigger, with multiple agents maybe, how do these complex multi-agent AI systems relate to, like, human organizations? Is there a parallel?
Oh, definitely. What's fascinating here is how similar they actually are.
Yeah.
Think about a growing company, right? The bigger it gets, the more chaotic it can become without proper organization.
Sure, you need structure.
You need clear hierarchies, organizational structures to keep things running smoothly. It's much the same with multi-agent AI systems.
Mm.
As they grow in complexity, as more parts interact, the need for clear structures, coordination, delegation, it just increases.
Mm.
This parallel to human systems is something a lot of research is now, you know, really digging into.
This sounds incredibly powerful. So for someone listening now who's thinking, okay, maybe I want to build one of these things, where do they even begin? What's the foundational skill you'd say is, like, non-negotiable for success here?
Well, from all our sources, really, two skills repeatedly emerge as paramount if you're looking to build your own, say, vertical AI agent. Those are prompt engineering and writing evaluations, or EVALs, as they're often called.
Okay, prompt engineering.
Yeah, prompt engineering.
Yeah.
Simply put, it's the process of designing and refining the input instructions you give to these generative AI models. And honestly, I think it's probably the highest return on investment skill you can learn in the AI space generally, but for AI agents specifically, it's even more critical.
So why is it so essential for agents? What makes it different from just, you know, chatting with ChatGPT or something?
Well, there are two main reasons, really. First, all the instructions you give an agent have to be in a single prompt.
Okay. Not back and forth.
Exactly. Unlike an iterative chatbot conversation where you can kind of refine as you go with an agent, you need to be incredibly clear, detailed, precise, right from the start, because it's meant to run autonomously. Second, and this is tricky, you have to find a very fine line, balancing clear instructions with flexibility.
How so?
Well, you want the agent to behave autonomously, right?
Yeah.
Which means you can't know exactly everything it will do. So you need to give it enough instruction to perform a variety of behaviors, but not so much that you inhibit its autonomous abilities and just, well, end up with a normal, rigid workflow. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah, that sounds like a really challenging balance to strike. So how do you even approach building something that needs that kind of precision and flexibility? Do you just, like, write one massive, super detailed prompt?
Not really, no. The general guidance is actually to start with a short prompt, something simple like search the web to answer the user's question. Then immediately start experimenting. Start testing different use cases.
Like edge cases.
Exactly. You need to think about all the weird things users might throw at your AI agent. Test them out. See what the agent does. And then use those results to refine your prompt to get the behavior you actually want. For a more structured approach, you can use something like a 6-component framework, all within that one prompt.
6 components? Like what?
Defining the agent's role, its specific task, what input it will get, the output you expect, any constraints, its capabilities, and maybe some reminders. We've seen examples like a research assistant agent summarizing AI news, or even really complex production prompts from companies like ParHelp. They use things like step-by-step reasoning and even XML tags.
XML tags? Like website code?
Sort of. They're like structured labels that help the AI understand different sections of the instruction more clearly. Huh. Helps organize a complex prompt.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge leap from just search the web. But once you have this, you know, carefully crafted prompt, how do you know if your agent is actually doing what it's supposed to? Mm-hmm. This sounds like where those evaluations, the evals, come in.
Exactly right. Evals are absolutely vital for iteratively improving these agents. You need to evaluate the entire system at each step, from the initial request all the way to the tool's response.
The whole chain.
The whole chain. This helps you pinpoint where the agent isn't behaving right, or maybe where its reasoning breaks down. Based on that, you can refine the prompt, or maybe even change the underlying models or the tools it's using. And for really critical steps, where you absolutely need human oversight, there's this concept called human-in-the-loop architecture.
Ah, so a person has to okay it.
Yeah, it allows for human approval or intervention before the agent proceeds with certain actions. Very important for sensitive tasks.
Makes sense. Okay, so beyond the how-to of writing prompts and evals, what about the underlying principles? Like, for building truly good AI agents, robust, trustworthy, actually useful ones?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are 3 sort of foundational principles that seem to guide effective agent design. Mm-hmm. First is space. This basically refers to the agent's working environment.
Chase, like outer space.
No, not quite. More like its operational space. The focus here should be on connecting events, people, and knowledge. Making sure the agent is discoverable, but also that it can seamlessly transition, you know, from being right there in the foreground to working in the background based on what you need. For you, the user, this means the agent's interface, the UI UX, should give you basic instructions and really clear limitations. You should always know what it can and cannot do.
Okay, transparency. Got it. What's next?
Second is time. This isn't just about, like, clock time, but about how agents learn and evolve over time. There's this really interesting reflection design pattern. It enables an agent to basically analyze its own past interactions and decisions.
Wait, it thinks about what it did.
Yeah, it figures out what worked, what didn't, and then self-corrects its future behavior based on that reflection. Imagine an agent that, over time, doesn't just remember your preferences, but truly gets smarter about anticipating your needs and optimizing its strategies. Almost like a human assistant learning on the job.
Wow, okay. So, space defines the environment. Time guides its evolution through reflection. What's the final principle? The one that helps build trust.
The third is core. And this is really about embracing uncertainty. LLMs, you know, they inherently introduce some level of unpredictability. It's just how they work.
Yeah.
So it's crucial to build trust and transparency with the user.
How do you do that?
By giving human users visible controls and feedback tools. Think about the pause, play, speak controls you have for audio or video. Users should have similar kinds of controls for the agent.
Like an on-off switch or seeing its steps.
Exactly. Turning the agent on and off, stepping through its reasoning process. Things like that build confidence. And what's fascinating is how these principles then guide powerful design patterns, like the tool use design pattern we touched on earlier.
Right, tool use. That seems critical. The agent's power isn't just its brain, its LLM, but its ability to actually interact with the, you know, the real digital world. What are some of the challenges there? Maybe security considerations when giving agents access to external tools.
Precisely. That's a huge consideration. While LLMs are great for generating text or ideas, many tasks need external tools to interact with real-world data or systems. This could be a simple calculator or APIs to check real-time flight status, or maybe specific functions within another application.
So it can actually do things, not just talk about them.
Exactly. And the benefits are transformative. An AI agent could, say, generate database queries to get your travel loyalty points, or answer specific questions about your customer data in a CRM that's customer relationship management software.
Right, like Salesforce or HubSpot.
Yeah, systems like that. It could answer questions without a human needing to look it up, or it could combine multiple tools to automate really complex workflows. Like imagine it analyzing an email, then automatically retrieving info from a knowledge base, and then forwarding the whole package to customer service.
That saves a ton of time.
Huge amounts.
Mm-hmm.
But as you hinted, security is critical. You have to ensure agents only have the access they absolutely need, nothing more. And robust error handling is vital too because, well, APIs and external services don't always work perfectly. Things break.
Yeah, reality bites sometimes. So that's tool use. What about the planning design pattern you mentioned? How does an agent break down a big, complex task?
Ah, yes, the planning pattern. This is where an AI agent takes a complex goal, like generate a 3-day vacation plan for me, and breaks it down into smaller, manageable subtasks.
Like booking flights, hotels, maybe finding activities.
Exactly that. Booking flights, booking hotels, researching activities. And this pattern becomes particularly powerful when those subtasks can then be delegated, perhaps to multiple specialized agents or other automated processes. It allows for a more distributed and often more efficient way to complete the overall big goal.
Okay, so you have these agents planning, maybe using tools, maybe even delegating. How do you make sure the instructions, the prompts, are consistent and effective across all that complexity, especially if multiple agents are involved?
That's where something called the system message framework comes in. It's basically a scalable and repeatable way to build effective prompts. You might start with a basic system message, like, you are an agent responsible for booking flights. You feed that to an LLM. That LLM then uses maybe a predefined template to generate a much more sophisticated prompt for another AI agent.
So an AI writing prompts for another AI.
Pretty much. Covering its responsibilities, the right tone to use, specific interaction instructions. It makes prompt development this iterative, highly efficient process. Almost like teaching one AI how to instruct another.
That's pretty meta.
It is. And that actually leads us nicely to the power of metacognition in AI agents.
Metacognition, thinking about thinking.
Exactly. This allows an agent to literally reflect on its past interactions, thinking about its own thought processes, its decisions, and maintain, say, an object or a profile of customer preferences. Things like preferred flight times, maybe hotel chains you like, even dietary restrictions.
So it remembers and learns about you specifically.
Right. By using this long-term memory and this kind of self-awareness, the agent can start to anticipate your needs better. It provides a more streamlined, personalized experience over time because it's not just reacting, it's learning from its experiences with you. It stops asking the same questions over and over.
Okay, so we've covered the what, the why, the core design principles. This is fascinating. What does this all mean for actually building these things, though? What are the hands-on tools people are using? Are we talking super complex coding, or is it getting more accessible?
It's actually both, which is great. There are powerful code-based frameworks, but also increasingly capable no-code and low-code approaches.
Yeah.
On the code-based side, Microsoft has Semantic Kernel. It's open source, which is nice and really flexible. It works with lots of different LLM models, Microsoft's own, OpenAI, Meta, Mistral.
So you're not locked into one model.
Right. Its core elements are things called plugins, which are essentially the tools we talked about, and memory components. It can handle relatively simple single task things like function calling, maybe booking a flight, and then automatically send you an email confirmation. But it can also handle more open-ended, complex agentic patterns, like generating a full day trip itinerary with alternative suggestions, potentially involving multiple agents collaborating behind the scenes.
Okay. And what else is out there for developers?
There's also Autogen, another Microsoft offering. That one uses Python primarily and has a cool visual interface called Autogen Studio. It lets you sort of drag and drop to create workflows, making it easier to visualize how different agents interact. And then there's the Azure AI Agent Service. This one has a pretty impressive capability. It can allow agents to actually generate Python code themselves for specific tasks.
Whoa! The AI writes code.
Yeah, like creating a bar chart directly from some data you give it.
Yeah.
The AI writes the plotting code for you.
That's seriously advanced. But what if you're not a coder? Or you just want to, you know, get something up and running relatively quickly? Are there tools for that crowd?
Absolutely. That's where these no-code and low-code platforms are really shining right now. N8N is a fantastic example. It's really strong for building multi-agent systems without needing to write code. There was this example of InkyBot, which is an AI assistant built on Telegram.
I think I saw that one.
Yeah. It could prioritize tasks, manage Google Calendar, like reading existing events and creating new ones, all by linking together triggers, different AI models, and various tools visually. A surprisingly powerful personal assistant built entirely without code.
That's impressive. And Make.com also gets mentioned a lot in this space, right? Seems popular for business automation.
Definitely. Make.com, formerly IntegraMAT, is a really powerful platform for general automation and, yes, building multi-agent systems too. Its core mechanics are pretty simple to grasp. You have triggers, which is what starts a workflow.
Like a new email arriving or a form being submitted?
Exactly. And then you have actions, which are all the subsequent steps that happen after the trigger. For a real-world business example, think about automating lead generation. A new lead comes in from a website form that's the trigger. The actions could be add them to a Google Sheet, send a real-time notification to the sales team on Slack and via email, and then automatically enter them into the company's CRM system.
And that speed matters, right?
Hugely. There's data showing that calling a new lead within 60 seconds can increase conversion rates by something like 391%. Automation makes that possible. And you can use it for other things too, like generating daily reports for leads that haven't been contacted yet.
So how do platforms like Make.com handle all the different kinds of information flowing through these workflows? Is it complicated?
They're designed to handle various data types pretty smoothly. You'll see JSON a lot. That's JavaScript Object Notation, a standard text format for data interchange on the web, very human readable. They also handle arrays, which are basically ordered lists, collections, which are like bundles of different data points, simple Booleans, true or false, dates, and even binary data like image files or PDFs.
Okay.
And what's also neat is how you can integrate AI, like ChatGPT, directly into these Make.com workflows. You'd use it for advanced data manipulation, like evicting just a website link from a big block of text within an email message, for instance.
So the AI becomes another action in the workflow.
Precisely. And for applications that maybe don't have a pre-built integration block in Make, they usually support standard HTTP requests, the basic way web browsers talk to servers and webhooks, which are automated messages sent between apps when something happens. These basically let you connect almost anything with an API, even if there isn't a nice drag-and-drop module for it yet.
It sounds like the potential for really comprehensive, maybe even single-click automation is rapidly becoming a reality then.
It certainly feels that way. You look at platforms like the Microsoft Copilot platform, MCP. Apparently, it can generate a complete website with just a single click using something like 11 different tools working together in the back end.
Wow.
Yeah, even generating customer testimonials is part of the process.
Yeah.
That really underscores the power of these integrated AI agents to streamline massive entire business processes.
We've explored the how and the tools quite a bit. Let's maybe zoom out again to the what next. What are some of the biggest opportunities or maybe future directions we're seeing for AI agents? It sounds like they have incredibly broad applications.
They absolutely do. Their power to automate those, you know, repetitive administrative and boring tasks is just immense. And it applies across almost every professional niche you can think of. Law, accounting, marketing, teaching, you name it.
Anywhere there's drudgery, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. One area that I think is actually very underrated right now is voice agents. Using voice can dramatically make the experience of interacting with AI agents much, much better. More natural, more intuitive.
Right. Less typing, more talking.
Exactly. Makes it feel less like you're operating machine and more like you're collaborating.
So this isn't just about pure efficiency then. It's also about a fundamentally different way, maybe a more intuitive way, of interacting with AI systems. What does all this mean for us, though, for the people listening who want to be part of this future or at least leverage it?
Well, Andrew Ng, who's a really prominent figure in AI, he has this strong conviction that everybody learning how to code is becoming a crucial skill for this age of AI. Being able to build and adapt these tools yourself is powerful.
A tall order for everyone, maybe, but I see the point.
It is, but it highlights the direction things are moving. Beyond that, the future of AI agents is also deeply tied to enhanced intelligence. Concepts like retrieval augmented generation, or RAG.
RAG. We've heard that term a lot lately.
Yeah. This is where an AI agent can intelligently go out and look up relevant, real-time, external information from vast databases. It lets the agent go way beyond its initial training data. And agentic RAG takes this even further. The agent autonomously decides what information it needs to retrieve for a complex task and how to best use that information. They become truly dynamic researchers and problem solvers.
Okay. So we've really journeyed from understanding the core bits, the LLM, memory tools, and the essential skills like prompt engineering and evils, to the critical design principles, space, time, core that make them effective, and finally looked at this diverse range of tools from code-based frameworks to no-code platforms that actually bring them to life.
Indeed. And you know, what really stands out to me in all of this, the thread running through it, is that inherent tension, but also the ultimate power in AI agent design. It's that crucial balance you have to find between providing precise, clear instructions to guide the agent effectively.
Giving it enough direction.
Right. But also allowing the agent the flexibility and the autonomy it needs to intelligently achieve complex tasks on its own in ways you might not have fully predicted. Mastering that fine line, I think, that's where the true transformative potential of AI agents really lies.
That's a fascinating challenge and definitely an opportunity for all of us. We really encourage you listening to consider how you might apply some of these insights. Maybe automate tasks in your own work or enhance what you do. Just think, what's one repetitive task in your day that maybe, just maybe, an AI agent could potentially take off your plate? Think about it, and you might just uncover your own next deep dive.